I thank Brother Larry for filling in for me last month, as my voice wasn't in very good speaking ability at that time. And so we hope that the things that you hear today will sink into deep and honest hearts, and we might live closer to the God of heaven in the days ahead than in the days gone by. If you have a Bible with you, you might open your Bible and follow along with the scriptures that will be presented here this morning. If you do not have your Bible, there may be one in the rack, the Bible rack in front of you. But our first scripture will be in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. As my introduction to my lesson here this morning, the title of my lesson is Your Key to God's Opportunity. Your key to God's opportunity. Even though God desires to bless all mankind, yet there are times when man will not allow him that opportunity. It's a fact that God is or gave man the power of being a free moral agent, that man can have the privilege of saying yes or no on any issue towards that with God. The highest privilege of man is the power of choice, but it also presents great dangers. The decisions that we make might control the destiny of our life. We need to realize that what we do and say each day might have a reflect upon our place of eternity. Because God does not overrule the will of man, yet he may follow a path of ruin. Man has the ability to lock the door against God and shut him out of a needy life, a life that we all need, that God must be present in our life every day. As we turn to Isaiah, the 59th chapter, and there in the first two verses of this chapter, it was sin that separated man from God. It said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Man holds the key that can unlock the door of opportunity for God, and thus allow him to be blessed. Pardon me. Point number one is that we need to look to those who have locked God out of their life. Turning back to Romans, the first chapter. In Romans, the first chapter, and there in verse 28 of this chapter, we notice here the degenerate state of the Gentiles. Romans chapter 1 and there in verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whispers, backbiters, haters of God, pardon me, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The Gentiles refused the entrance of God's blessing because they did not want to recognize their Creator. This same atheistic attitude still influences many today in our society. They will not open the door of opportunity for their Lord. How often do we oppose God to our own hurt? Going back to the Old Testament, in Proverbs chapter 1, and we notice here, beginning in verse 24 of this chapter, Proverbs chapter 1 and beginning in verse 24, that God gave this warning to Israel when he said, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your terror comes. And when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." Israel locked the door against God and then paid a terrible price for their wickedness. Also turning to Psalms, we notice here in in Psalms 106, and there beginning in verse 13, that Israel had forgot God. In Psalms 106 and beginning there in verse 13, the writer says, "They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." They willingly tossed away the key that would have unlocked the door of God's many blessings. Point number two I have here this morning is Jesus Christ also was refused entrance. Jesus knew what it meant to be rejected and refused entrance into his country. Turning to Revelation, the third chapter. In Revelation chapter 3 and beginning there in verse 20 of this chapter, we notice here in this scripture, it said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus speaks of how often he had been refused entrance. Turning back to the Gospel of John, in John the 14th chapter, and we notice there beginning in verse 23 of this chapter that Jesus was refused entrance into his country. In John chapter 14 and beginning there in verse 23. "If anyone loves me," Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Yet there are some people who have never opened the door to Jesus. Looking to John, the first chapter, and there beginning in verse 11, he says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." They still had the key to open the door or to keep Jesus out. Going back again once to the Old Testament in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. We notice from this scripture in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and there in verse 3, that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Jesus was despised and rejected of men. He found that he was denied entrance, even into his own hometown. Turning once again to the Gospel of Luke. In Luke, the 4th chapter, and there in verse 24, we notice here that Jesus was denied entrance into his own hometown. In Luke chapter 4, and there in verse 24, then he said, "Assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrene." If they had used the key of faith, the door would have been open for wonders, for signs and miracles. Point number 3 I have here this morning is some refused entrance to the gospel. Paul found that those who held the key could have opened the gospel to them, but they failed. Turning to Acts, the 13th chapter, we notice here of one individual, that of Elymas. In Acts, the 13th chapter, and there in verse 8, said, "But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?' And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand." Elymas had that power of choice, but absolutely refused the gospel that Paul had preached. Another example we have is in Acts, the 13th chapter, and there in verse 46, this same chapter. In verse 46, the men of Poseidon rejected Paul's message. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Do you think that is the last time, the last instance, where men have put away the gospel from them? The much needed gospel of truth. The truth is that men are still locking out the word of God and refuse to let it abide in their hearts. While Jesus walked among men upon this earth, there were many who closed the door against his word. As spoken of, turning to the Gospel of John, in John the 12th chapter, and there in verse 37, in John chapter 12 and there in verse 37, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?'" They held the key, but yet they still locked out the word of God. They could either have received his words or rejected them. But Christ warned them there in verse 48 of this same chapter, from John chapter 12 and verse 48, when he said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Even to this day, many are still rejecting Christ, rejecting his word, and continuing in a lost condition. They close the door of the gospel of Christ, which is, as we all know, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. God will not force salvation on any man. Man has that choice. But each one of us has the key that will open the heart to hear and accept his saving message. Point number four I have for you to consider here this morning is some homes have God locked out. Going back to the Old Testament in Psalms, in Psalms 127, and there in verse 1 of this chapter, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." We need to recognize that everything that we have comes from God. As James tells us there in James chapter 1, and there in verse 17, everything we have comes from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, neither shadow of turning. Many homes remain without the Lord, and all because that we have not opened the door and invited him in. The once familiar scene of the family bowed together in prayer or in the study of God's word has almost disappeared. Young boys and girls who once defended their faith among schoolmates, but yet now they have become spiritually ignorant because no one has taught them about God. We rely on our Bible class teachers, but the fault lies in the parents. If we would test the majority of teenagers on the Bible, I'm sure that the scores would probably be very low. They could probably name you a top rock star, or they could probably name you the top songs on the charts. But can they name the 12 disciples? Or can they name the books of the Bible? You see, the fault lies with the parents, who find time for hours of entertainment from our TV sets, or find time to sit in front of a computer, play games. But we don't have any occasion to study the Bible. We think of our study as sufficient enough on the first day of the week. And there are even some that do not consider Wednesday night Bible study in their daily lives. Churches are being wrecked by a membership that has not learned what the church is and has not learned what the church is not. Some families have closed the door of their homes and their heart against the Word of God and have brought in every imaginable pollution and corruption that the TV could entertain us, or that the computer could offer us. Are we really trying to get to heaven? Some of you have done, we hope, quite well in teaching your children, because as they leave the home, is the Word of God still instilled within them? Though they are outside of the family bond, do they still hold truth to God's word? Point number 5 I have here this morning is we close the door to riches. In our mad search for riches, we have closed our doors against what we are to seek. Many of us seem to be striving to gain more, or we take on more work and we do not have time for God. Turning back to the Old Testament, in Haggai, the first chapter, and there in verse 6, it describes for us the frustration and the confusion of our present-day society. For in Haggai chapter 1, and there in verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. What are we profiting? Just where are we headed in this rat race society? Trying to gain more, to be physically efficient, to be rich, but not in God's word. God rebuked the selfishness of Israel in Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3, and beginning there in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. For if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. He promised that they would have stocking room for what he would give, if only they treated him fairly. But they closed the door against God by a selfish attitude. Christ also gave a promise in Luke, the 6th chapter. And there in verse 38 of this chapter. In Luke chapter 6, and there in verse 38. He says, give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Here is one way that we can open the door for all the good things that we need, but we still hold a key. I'm sure you've all heard the expression, you can't take it with you. But yet, according to Matthew chapter 6, and there in verse 20, we can send it on ahead, as Christ tells us here in this verse. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We should not trust in our riches, but we should trust in the things that God would provide. Our treasures should be in heaven. We are given the use of eternal places in heaven to store our treasures, but we still hold the key. You will have to use the key to obtain this blessing. Point number 6 I have here this morning, give God the opportunity. James tells us in James chapter 4, And there, beginning in verse 2. In James chapter 4, and there, beginning in verse 2, many desire blessings which they could have, but only if they would ask of God. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. The lack of prayer leaves many souls barren of divine aid. Christ gives us the opportunity in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and there in verse 7, the opportunity that Christ gives us in Matthew chapter 7, and there in verse 7, Christ said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Christ gives us this opportunity, but we have failed to ask. We have failed to seek. We have failed to knock. The door of opportunity is still closed, even though we hold the key. James also tells us in James, the 5th chapter, and there in verse 16, that the righteous man will be blessed in his prayer. In James chapter 5, and there in verse 16, he says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we are struggling under a burden of doubts, under a burden of fears, why not allow God the opportunity to help you? Christ invites you to come. Turning to Matthew, the 11th chapter, in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and there, beginning in verse 28, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Place those fears, place those doubts upon God. Let God help you. It's unnecessary to carry these guilts, these cares and fears, when God offers to relieve you of the whole burden. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and there in verse 6, we notice here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and there in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God offers to relieve you of this burden. Why fret and worry? Place these things upon God. You've tried everything else. Why not unlock the door of your heart to the Lord and give him the opportunity to lead you in paths of peace and tranquility? Our God is willing and able to help, but if we only use the key that we hold in our hands, the key to God's opportunity is the Word of God. It is your choice. As man has given you this power of choice, God will not force this upon you to accept his grace and his benevolence. We hope this lesson has pricked your hearts to serve the God of heaven more faithfully in the days to come than in the days gone by. The key that we have is the Word of God. Why not use it in our everyday walks of life, preparing our soul to face eternity? We extend the gospel invitation to you this very hour. If you have not become a child of God, it is through baptism, the watery grave of baptism, that you might become a babe in Christ and continue to walk acceptably towards the God of heaven. We encourage you at this time, if you find a need, to come forward as together we stand and sing.